So we'll welcome you, and we're all present, school board members and Superintendent Sitkin and Jared Black here, and welcome to all of you. We'll begin by standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We will begin with the consent agenda, the warrants, the minutes from August 2015 meeting, and the financial reports from August 2015. Are there any questions on those that haven't been satisfied?
I have no questions. I make a motion that we accept them as we have received them.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We have personnel action, names for approval.
Believe it or not, we don't have any tonight.
Okay.
For the first time in a long time. We are still working on a couple of vacancies, but we haven't filled them yet. So.
Well, then we'll go directly to the principal's report while you're standing.
Oh.
Happy to have you here.
Walk away.
Just for a minute, yeah.
Get out of here early.
Yeah.
Well, I enjoy being the principal. It's a great job. I got to tell you, there's a lot less drama in elementary than there is in junior high. Hey, I want to thank both the district and the school board for all that they do for us here at Ellington Elementary and our children and the schools everywhere in the district. I appreciate it. And I also want to publicly acknowledge each and every one of our wonderful faculty and staff. You know, they do an incredible work here at Huntington Elementary, and they're thoughtful, they're caring about the children, and I really appreciate them. There's not a one that I wouldn't, well, hug if I could, but anyway. But I appreciate each one, what they do, the work they do here, and their own different responsibilities. As you can see on that enrollment sheet that Mr. Citrick passed out, we have about 330 kids in our school. We were anticipating actually losing kids.
Let's stop for just a second. I just handed out another one for you that's updated as of today, and it's, well, I'm going to talk about it in a minute, but when you mention enrollment sheet, the second one looks much better than the first one. So
yes.
Put an X on the one I just handed you that's dated September 2nd, and then Mr. Johnson referred you to the right one. And you don't probably... Well, you just looked at it.
I just looked at it on the way to make sure my numbers were what I thought. So, and we're very happy about that.
That's a lot better.
Quite a bit than that. We did have quite a number move out, but we've also moved in quite a number, so we're thrilled with that. And we're happy to have each one, and we're off to a great school year. It's been a good start, and teachers are positive and upbeat, and kids are starting to learn already. If you have one at home, you know, they're seeing work and homework and lots of good stuff. Appreciate Marie coming in and playing the piano for Mrs. McElbrain. I can hear them sing all the way down the hall. So just wanted to give you a little bit of a technology update. We've been pushing that pretty heavy in our school. We now have 160 iPads in our school. Some of the teachers will come and get 7 or 8 and use them for centers in their classes, and then also they will use the whole cart for classroom activities. They're used almost every day. It's really, really good. We have some great programs on. We also have 40 iPods, and what we're using those for is there's a program called Learning Ally. And Learning Ally allows us to download whatever books that the students need onto an iPod. And it has the text and highlights it as it's read to them so they can see it and they can hear it at the same time. So we've got those 40 for our struggling readers. We actually allow them to take them home and use them at home. I had one little boy last year, I'll give you an example of last year, from he was a fourth grader last year and hadn't picked up a book all year. We got the iPod, gave it to him, showed him how to work, downloaded the books he wanted to read on it, and some that the teacher wanted him to read on it. He read 5 books in 2 months.
Wow.
Doing that. So it's got great potential. One is that they're not struggling over the words, as you know. It's so hard that they can't get the concept. They don't have to struggle with the word, but they see it when it's said correctly, and they can move along, they can understand the concepts. Textbooks are also available on that program. It's a good program, Learning LA. And we have a school license, so anybody else who wants to use it in our school, if they have an iPad or a Kindle or something like that, all they have to do is download the app, and then we give them a password, and they can use it for their child also. We have a whole school license, thanks to the help of Mr. Jensen. I think that's, you helped us get those licenses, didn't you, Jen? I appreciate that. We actually have more than our school uses, but for ST Math. ST Math is, it comes out of this
state grant.
Oh.
And so licenses didn't cost us anything, which was wonderful. And it's a conceptual math program. It's based on game theory. And it's not game video game, it's game theory, which means that the kids will learn as they play this type of game, trying to get this little, they call him Gigi, little penguin thing. And he just moves from different place. They get awards when they get concepts right, things like that. One of the best math programs I've seen for kids picturing what is actually happening when you add or when you multiply or when you use exponents, those kinds of things. I was really thrilled with it. Really happy to have it. And I appreciate Jed helping us with those licenses. And the other thing that we have now is it's called Nearpod. Nearpod is a program that allows a teacher, it has over 12,000, I think it is, presentations already pre-made anywhere from beginning kindergarten to high school. And also, it has space on that program, on their server, for our teachers to make presentations and put on there. Now, you'd think, well, what's the difference between that and PowerPoint? The difference is that you can have quizzes that the kids take right then, and it shows up on the teacher's machine or the projector. You can have surveys. The teacher can embed a video right in it. Each kid has an iPod, so when it's time to see the video, the teacher touches that button and says, okay, now you can access that, and they can have their headphones in, they can see it. You can have websites embedded. It's just a marvelous thing. So it's either a teacher-paced and controlled presentation, or if a student needs a review, they can go to the same thing and do a student-paced review on it. And it's just got hundreds of things on it that the teachers can use, they can create their own and put it in a private server so the whole world doesn't see it. Sometimes if we're a little nervous about that, then we don't want to be involved in it. But if we have a private server, that's only the teachers in our school will be able to use those things. But on the public side, anybody can create a Nearpod, and it's run through a group of specialists, that Nearpod, before they ever allow it to come on the web. Make sure it's current and up to date. It's a great program. One of the reasons that we can use these kinds of things is because we now have new internet access points. And I appreciate the district and doing that and the school board approving that. So that means now that instead of only getting 3 or 4 iPads on the server, now we can get a whole cart on the server anytime we want to. It's been a lot of work for them. And they even had some people come in, some kids. I think you hired some kids, right? And come in and help pull the wires and get them going, and still tweaking a little here and there, trying to get a few of the bugs out, but that's technology, isn't it? But I really appreciate that and how that'll help our teachers teach and learn with technology. Now, I'm not saying it'll never take the place of teaching. Technology never, ever will. But it can enhance learning if it's used the right way. So that's our goal, is to help teachers have access to the things they need that will help kids learn. That's what we're about. School looks great. Charlene and Dustin have done a great job. They're both excellent cleaners, and they work very hard, and I really appreciate them. Appreciate all our people that are working for us. Appreciate me and our school lunch. It's always a lot of work to get that just right. She works very hard and probably worries a little too much about it, but I sure appreciate it. Kim in our speech. She's always here when we need her for almost anything. Thank you, Kim. But it is a good school. I'm grateful to be here, and thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you. I just had a question. Is they the when you use the state or the presentations for the Nearpod, are they like for Common Core? How are they? Do they help with that? Do they?
They do. Nearpod is a it. What it has, let's see if I can access it. Oh, I'm gonna have to go through the web. What Nearpod has is, like, if you're teaching a unit on fractions, then it is basically, it's like, it might be 12, 14 slides on fractions. And so it'll say what a fraction is. One that I looked at, I was gonna try to present to you, but there was a little problem in me getting communication. I didn't think about it until about, you know, an hour ago. So they'll start off, like, for example, it'll start off with saying that it's a parts of a whole and how that works, and then it'll move to what different fractions look like. And then there's a song on there, a little video, a song that a teacher did that talks about fractions being part of a whole and kind of gets this little rhythm in their heads going so that they can kind of remember about that. They have a little quiz on it, and it talks about what part of a fraction is this, how do you know which part of a whole, how many pieces are there, and they just say A, B, C, or D, and it then appears on the teacher's iPad, or if she has it on a projector, it'll show on the projector. The next part was a little bit more teaching, and then it went into a website that matched the Common Core. And the kids could peruse that and play the things on there that help them learn about it. So I'll try to pull one up and show you.
I'd like to see that, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your report and for all that you do, and thank your staff. And we're glad for UV and all of you that help at Huntington Elementary. And thank your staff here. I appreciate
it. Thank you. Oh, I want to tell you, Gail is doing very well, too.
Oh, good.
She's doing very well. She recently had another CT scan. She's allergic to the. Don't put that anywhere. don't record that anywhere. Anyway, she has a reaction to things, and so it's not. She hates it, but found out that her numbers were stable, and that the parts that were cancerous are so small that they can't even get a biopsy from them. So they shrunk tremendously.
Good. Thank you very much. Let's go to the business administrator's report.
Just a couple of things I wanted to make you aware of. I did include in your packet an update on our major capital outlay projects. If you have any questions about those, or if you want to go see them, just let me know and we can arrange for that. But our maintenance staff has worked very hard through the summer and are continuing to complete those projects, and they all look really good. So,
parking lot at Green River High is outstanding.
It's awesome.
Good.
It really
great.
Looks good. Makes the whole facility look better. It is.
At which junior high?
At
Green River High School.
The parking lot that was. That rotomeal that would come off the roads before, and that's all been blacktopped now and painted, and the old parking redone. It really makes the facility look good.
And there's not cars parked out in that parking lot every which way now like it used to be. There's not. People know where to park. It's good.
Anyway, let me know if you have any questions about any of those projects. Also get some pictures or whatever if you want to see them. I also wanted to let you know that we had our benefits fair and luncheon along with the opening institute. Went well. Our attendance was well, and so just wanted to report that to the board. And then also our financial audit started today, and we'll go the rest of this week and next week. So we're busy with that. Come in and meet the auditors if you'd like.
You're too busy.
By all means.
But just a mention of appreciation to every and our secretaries and principals. We usually say that after the fact, but there's a lot of preparation to get ready for the audit, and appreciate all that they've done.
Thank you, Jared. Thank you, your staff. This is a hectic week for you, I'm sure. Superintendent's report.
Okay, as Jared mentioned, we do have school started. We had our opening institute. We had originally had Greg Hudnall out of Hope for Utah. He was an associate superintendent in Provo School District until he retired a couple of years ago. Scheduled to come, but his father passed away on the beginning of the week before, and so I made arrangements for the prevention specialist for Provo School District to come down, and I think did an outstanding job of presenting on suicide prevention and bullying. I heard some comments from some of the secondary teachers that they needed that just before they went to the SLO training.
For themselves,
We also had Dr. Carrie Naylor from the state office present on student learning objectives, which will be part of the new educator evaluation process in measuring student achievement. There's a choice between writing student learning objectives or using the SAGE test if you're teaching in a SAGE tested area as the measurement for student growth, that component of educator evaluation. But we did get school started. The numbers the first day were a little dismal for us, showed us down about 63 students district-wide, but as of today, it looks like we're still down, but about half that. I believe we're down 31 students. Actually down 37 in elementary and up 6 in secondary school, so down 31. Hopefully that will still begin to increase just a little bit, but it's about what we projected, was about 30 students down for this year. So it's near the projection that we had, which is a miracle to be that close, but we'll see. Would like to recognize as we, in this meeting, that just before school started, we did lose one of our teachers and one of our students in a tragic accident. We certainly mourn the loss of Heather Jacobson, the resource teacher at Cleveland Elementary. She and Landon's son, Brock, who was a 7-year-old second grader at Cleveland Elementary. We recognize their loss and extend our sympathy to their family, and certainly a hope for a speedy recovery for Landon, who's still struggling a little bit in the hospital. And we did have counselors at the school on day one, both from our school district and from Four Corners. Mental health, teachers and kids did a great job of dealing with that first week of school. Again, extend our sympathy to the family and to those who are still trying to heal. Also, just a quick report, we did on the first day of school, Kevin Gordon at Emory High collapsed on us. Our welding teacher got up to teach, couldn't talk, tried to get to the school for help and collapsed out on the sidewalk, and some students got some help, and we got an ambulance there, or the school did, and he did have a blood vessel bleeding on his brain, and he was life flight to the Utah Valley. He's home now. They're letting it heal on its own. That prognosis right now seems to be quite good. I don't know how long he'll be out, but he is healing. And also, of course, earlier this summer, our auto teacher, Mike Kava, had a stroke, and Mike is still out. We're not sure. Looks like now a minimum of 3 more months. I don't know beyond that. We're still trying to find an auto teacher. We're searching high and low for a good substitute, but also a possibility of beyond that. We don't know. So right now we're unable to do much advertising because we don't know what his
future will be or plans. And it's hard for someone to quit another job and come and sub, but just a quick report on some of those. On September 16th, the rumor is that we will have 3 busloads of Utah legislators. I know that's hard, maybe it's dangerous to announce to have that many buses on the highway of legislators, but there are 3, about 150 Utah legislators who will be making a tour through Carbon, Emory, and Grand County. They will on the 16th come from the Wasatch Front. They will make stops in Carbon County. County commissioners, some of the people there will be visiting. Our county commissioners will ride the bus with them from Price to Green River and talk with them about some of the rural issues with our cities and towns and the county, some of the economic concerns. We will have them at Green River High School on the 16th at 1 o'clock for about an hour to an hour and a half. And the goal there is for the school and district to talk to those legislators about what it's like to educate students in a small rural high school. Most of those legislators, when they think about high schools, think about their Wasatch Front schools. And we did a little, an interesting thing, a little comparison of Green River High with Lone Peak High School. And course offerings 10 through 12, there's probably about 27 or so course offerings compared to 228 at Lone Peak High. They have like 67 clubs compared to 4 or 5. It's just amazing the comparisons. Nolan has worked up also some numbers on teacher turnover the last 10 years.
That'll be good for them to see.
Those are the kind of things that we will share with them, along with information about what it costs to educate a student in a small rural school of 100 students, compared not only within our own district, the cost of educating students at Green River High compared to Emory High, but also compared to some of those schools along the Wasatch Front, and also the importance of the necessarily existent small schools funding. And we're going to do our best to help them understand the challenges, but I think, I hope we can also instill in them the advantages. There's, you know, I'm speaking for myself, I don't think I would trade my rural education for an urban education any day. I think there's also opportunities for kids to participate. Had I gone to a Lone Peak High School, I'm not a real good athlete. I was able to play football and baseball in high school at Emory High, but if I were at Lone Peak High, I probably would not have had very many opportunities. But on the personal attention of teachers, the teachers are able to give kids, and smaller class sizes. I know that's hard maybe at Emory High to believe, but some of those, if you look at some of those big school districts, there's 45, 50 kids in a math class. And so there are a lot of advantages to a rural education too. But we hope to share those kind of things with legislators. Any of you board members who want to be there, you're more than welcome. But that'll be on the 16th. The plan is now to be at Green River High at 1 o'clock, but we'll see how the schedule goes as they move along. We'll probably have them in the auditorium to start with, and then when we're done, we're going to invite them to wander through the school. We'll be telling teachers they could have 20 or 30 legislators in their classroom at any given time. So to be prepared, not to gang up on them, but certainly I think it will be an eye-opener for many of our legislators. This tour is being put together by Wes Curtis, who used to be on our board out of SUU, and they will leave there and travel, I think, up I-70 to Castledale across the Moore Cutoff, and then over Huntington Canyon to look at the burn scar and the debris basins that have been built there, and then back to the Wasatch Front. But when we first started talking about it, we were talking about 30 or 40, and then it got to be 100, and now they're talking about 150 legislators. So.
Yeah.
Well, I hope so.
Forward to that. Well, we'll see how many show up. We'll see if it's one bus or three. But
that's not a school bus.
Right, I bet it's not a school bus. So will you let us know if the time at Green River High changes?
I will, yes.
Okay.
It was scheduled originally at 2 o'clock. They moved it to 1. It was an hour, now it's an hour and a half at 1 o'clock. Wes is supposed to keep me informed of any changes, and I will pass that on to board members. I sent you a copy of some information on the Aquatic Center. In 2007, we signed an agreement with Emory County for the use of the swimming pool. When that agreement was written, we were just starting into a process that was new territory for us. And there were some things that we had to negotiate a little bit on after that agreement. Some of the concerns that came up were the scheduling of the facility and who should do it. And they were getting calls from a number of different sources. And at that time, we made an agreement that the principal of each school would be the designated person. Typically, they would schedule with the swimming pool manager. We also, at that time, had timers and starting platforms that were put there. And we certainly felt that they should be restricted to the swim team and to the county recreation. That was not in the original agreement. We did indicate there would be some use by elementary schools and other secondary schools besides Emory High, and we agreed on 2 days for each elementary and 12 hours for each secondary school that would be free of charge. But we also recognized that the expense of the lifeguards was quite a bit. And we did agree at that time for each school to provide a fee, the cost of the lifeguards. Since that time, just recently, well, we have three new county commissioners now. And there was a lot of confusion to what the agreement was. So we sat down a few weeks ago with Commissioner Brady, who's over the Aquatic Center. We talked about some of those issues. And really nothing is changing except they wanted to know if we would agree to an addendum to the original agreement that would just clarify those things. By saying nothing would change, that's not exactly true. We're putting in that addendum I sent to you, the scheduling by the principal, the timer and platforms, the restricted use on that, the use for elementary and other secondary schools, but also at that time, in the agreement, it says that Emory High swim team, there would be no fundraising done at the Aquatic Center. And we have arranged with the county to allow the swim team to do concessions at region competitions that are held there in order to support the swim team program and the cost of that. We've also negotiated with the county commission, and actually the county commission offered to waive all of the fees related to the lifeguards.
Oh, really?
That's right.
So that's listed in there, that those fees would be waived and that the county would pay for the lifeguards when other schools were using the facility. So when the county attorney gets through looking at this, they will bring that back. We'll bring it to the board, or they will, one of the two, and we'll talk about that addendum to the original agreement. If you don't have a copy of the original agreement, I would be happy. Julie, you may not have that. I'd be happy to email that to you and let you look at the original agreement, which was signed in 2007. If you have any questions on that, I think that it's a good thing, and I think we're coming out ahead on that, and hopefully we can get that resolved. I also sent to you a revised textbook and curriculum review cycle. We have been on we were on a six-year review cycle for textbooks and curriculum, and with the adoption of the new Utah core standards, we spend a little bit more time in looking at math and language arts so we kind of got off schedule. So Jeb and Gwen initially, and now Ralph, have talked with the principals about a review schedule. And this is the review schedule that has been outlined, and it's for your information. We won't necessarily be doing the same content area K-12 every year. Next year we will be looking at, or this year we will be looking at language arts and reading from both elementary and secondary for implementation the following year, and then we will go with secondary health and applied technology and elementary social studies the following year, and then fine arts, information technology, and we can leave that, and fine arts in the elementary. Then in 18-19, we'll do secondary math, elementary supplementary language arts, and in 19-20, science, K-12, and in, it just seems impossible, but the year 2020 and 2021, any of you remember the song in the 60s or 70s called In the Year 2525? Well,
it's going to be here before we know it.
Secondary social studies, elementary math,
so alive then.
Just for your information, we're trying to get back on schedule with a regular review.
Oh, I missed.
Been bugging me.
A couple other things.
Kirk, I have one quick
yes.
question. I don't see any foreign languages on this. What does that fall under?
I think we do it under language arts.
Okay.
Same time we do language arts, we'll do foreign language. That's a good point, though. We ought to list it.
Yes, I believe that Spanish textbook needs to be looked at seriously.
Okay. That's this year old now, so we'll be doing
it's about
20
years old.
Along with our language arts. We'll make sure that gets on there.
Okay.
Printed. I gave you a copy attached to my report tonight of the high school sports schedules. We didn't have them in time to get them on the agenda for board action, but I do have them there for you to review. These are the schedules that have been developed thus far. They're printed on both sides, so if you look at them, make sure you check the back side of each one of them. And we will, in October, have you vote on it, even though football and volleyball will be half over. But the law requires you to approve any travel of 150 miles one way or more, but we've just had you approve the schedules. I don't see anything in there that's that different from any previous year. But I did provide copies for you. I also provided copies for you of our August Administrative Council meeting. If you have any questions, that was our opening meeting. We usually go through a lot of reminders and details about what's required by law as we start the school year. I just also want to make you aware that today here at Huntington Elementary, we had a graduation. As you recall, we were involved in a Waterford I3 grant, which is an upstart grant for preschool kids. The I3 grant was taking those kids who are starting kindergarten this year originally, and it was started last summer, not this summer, but actually the previous summer. And those kids went through some online programs. They went through all last year. Now that first group are in kindergarten, and we had 72 kids throughout the county involved in the I3 grant, and we had three different graduation ceremonies for them today. They were down here in the gym, and it was exciting. And Nanette Harrison gave you a little bit of a report last May on that I3 grant. She has been our liaison with Waterford, and I've already heard some reports from some kindergarten teachers that those kids that were involved in that now starting kindergarten are they're very impressed with what they already have in place as they start kindergarten.
So it's a good time to put ahead.
This particular cohort group will be tracked through third grade. The Upstart program itself continues on, but the grant will just follow this one cohort group all the way through third grade. And if it's successful, the hope is the legislature will fund high-quality early childhood programs such as that, and but it was kind of a fun day with the parents and the kids, and I was able to come over for part of it, and John was here for part of it, and make you aware of that.
Waterford's doing some training tomorrow also for school for, I don't know if it's for the next school board or the continuation of it.
I think it's for the new group that's they're registering to come into the Upstart program. And it's a program that provides, if you have a home where they don't have a computer for the kids to use because of economics, they will actually provide a computer for them to use for the program. Because it is an online program that those kids go through, and I think they spend about 15 minutes a day on the computer and working on, you know, language arts, math, various activities to help prepare them for kindergarten. So I think that's all I, more than I had on my list.
Well, that's exciting. Thank you for all you do. Are there any public comments? None out there? Are there any closed meeting items?
We don't have any. I know that Julie talked to me a little bit about board members and visiting schools, mm-hmm. and you may want to have a little bit of discussion about that.
I think that's a great idea.
I know that some districts have, a couple times a year, have boards that schedule and take tours of schools through classrooms, those kind of things. I think any board member would be more than welcome to come in and visit with the principal about the programs in their school. Have them take them through class. Have them take you through classrooms and visit with teachers. Those kind of things. Sometimes it's a little awkward just to walk through by yourself, but you might find yourself in the middle of some discussions and personnel issues. But I think there isn't a principal in the district that wouldn't welcome you to come in and visit with them. And if the board wanted,
I walk through Huntington Elementary every Halloween.
Yes, you do.
Nobody knows it's me.
Yeah,
but
nobody recognizes.
Wow.
But I'm beginning to. I'm really
just wait till this Halloween.
Oh.
I would really, yeah. They're kind of scary.
Yes.
Canton,
yeah,
they,
I know.
No, you don't know who they are, you know, these strange people wander around these parades. But
I love it.
Anyway, I think it would be great if board members would make it, you know, go in and talk with the principal about the school, let them take you on a little tour, visit classrooms with them. I'm sure that that would be great. And if you wanted to schedule maybe other tours that the whole board could walk through individual schools and see what's going on, have them talk about their land trust plans and show them what's being used for. And you talk about 160 iPads, look at those carts and see what there is and see how they're using them.
I'm wondering if we couldn't do it on the month that we go to their schools for board meeting, if we couldn't arrange a time.
That's what I was hoping.
Is that what you were?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like I read your email.
I know. We're like.
Yeah.
You can always have your board meetings at 3 o'clock and then you can visit in the afternoon and have
your. Yeah.
No, that was just.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if that might not be a bad time to do it, where you would know, they would know, because I maybe you can give us some input. Would that be disruptive? I think that's my concern is that we would come at a time when it would be disruptive or interfere with what they're doing. I think they need to be aware that we're coming.
I think so too. I think it'd be hard to have five of you all go to the classroom at the same time. But we've got enough classrooms.
Yeah,
so we could
exactly.
Just say, let's
split
go
up
this direction and
right.
Let the teacher know in advance that you're coming, and or just that morning say, hey, we have a school board member in here.
Well, my only question is on that day. You know, Roy's coming to Green River. You're going to Green River. You've got that big gap between that and board meeting. I don't know how that would work out, but or whether it would be better to schedule as individuals. But you could do it as a group, but you might have a.
Well, I like the idea of doing it on the day of the meeting, but it's like I don't want to wait until May before we go to that school, whatever school that is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You want to get an idea before the end of
yeah.
school. Yeah.
I would rather go individually.
And I think, I think that if you just, I don't even know if you'd have to call, I think if you just show up, I don't think there's a, I wouldn't have a problem just taking you around.
But you would have to do it five times.
Yeah, that's the.
I don't mind.
Would some principals mind though?
I think it would be good to call the principals.
So do I.
And so they're aware of what's going on, so it isn't a surprise.
Right, right.
Well, let us, we don't meet till the 22nd of September, but we can certainly have that discussion with the principals.
I would feel better about that.
In administrative council.
Then rather than us decide what is best for, because they do get busy.
And you know, for me, I don't need to go into every single classroom. I just want to see the Nearpod in action, you know? And see the kids come in and have lunch and get a feel for your school for no other reason than that's what I want to do.
Right.
I guess I thought that that was part of being on the school board, is going to the schools and seeing the artwork in the classroom and seeing what third grade's working on right now. And
I think it would help you understand our teachers a little better and what our kids need.
Yeah.
What they're doing, how they're progressing. You could stay in the classroom for a little while and when the kids are actually working, practicing, see how they're doing.
He could be
have them teach me something. Show me
that,
how this
that works. Would say that they knew it if they could teach it to you.
Yeah.
So.
And I think we kind of have done that within our own precincts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But not, I haven't gone to Farron or, you know, so
I think
maybe
that's,
that would be
I think that's true. I think we kind of look over our little.
Do it in our own local area.
Yeah.
Well, accommodate whatever the board wants to do that way.
Talk to them and get input. I think that would be helpful.
It would be interesting to know from administrative council what the feeling of the superintendent or the principals are.
But yeah, I don't want to wait until May before we get that last school.
I'm with you. I'd rather go by myself.
I think you get a different feel.
It's not
okay,
as official.
Laura,
hey, we'll work on it.
Okay.
Will you?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
In the classroom, if there were five of you, or even three of you.
Maybe a couple.
Even with the
well, principal. We don't want the teachers thinking, ooh, what are they up to? Something fishy.
Well, I'll tell them that.
And I appreciate Julie's emailing me about that because, you know, in the board policy, basically the communication between school staff and the board has been dealt with through policy by saying, you know, the board had made the decision to go from school to school to hold board meetings and have the principal report on program things going on in the in their buildings.
Sorry, yeah.
And then also through, now I've lost my train of thought, there's one other way. But anyway, it's outlined in board staff communications. And I hadn't really thought about it in that, you know, in a different way. But my only caution would be as you visit the schools, you know, make sure that you don't get caught up in any personnel issues that we may be working on or that
that's
someone's
my point
unhappy
when,
about.
You know, when you're talking
and,
about
you know,
that.
Make sure
that
information is
you guys
comes
that.
Back rather than trying to deal with personnel issues as individual board members. So.
And we're not watching to see if they're doing things wrong.
No, that's.
Or spying on
Neil. They're spying on them.
I want to go into the library.
Nobody comes out.
My daughters are.
My
daughters already come home and told me about a rotten person Christopher Columbus is.
I spent a couple of months with you once, and
that
was awesome.
We had quite a debate at home over it, so thanks, Neil.
That's funny.
Okay. Well, we'll get some input from the principals, and then we'll see how best to proceed next.
Interesting thought.
Board meeting. I guess a motion to adjourn.
I would like to tell Kirk thank you very much for the alphabetized
policy.
That would be really helpful. Thank you very much. And then I'll make the motion that we adjourn.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you all for coming and thanks for letting us come here.
There's some